all stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Turn it to Tom for roll call, please.
Everybody can make sure their microphones are on, please. Natalie Luxon.
Here.
Doug Mormon.
Here.
Robert Hintz.
Here.
Mark Scheid. Paul Yankee.
Here.
Barry Feist.
Here.
Now I'm going to turn it to Emil for the presentation.
Yeah,
we're going
to
go right into comments.
Okay. Well, Emil, if you wouldn't just mind going over a little bit. Just the four-page. If everybody has a copy of this, this is what he's going to be working off of.
Good afternoon, evening. Thank you for coming out. This is the comprehensive plan. How many of you have been to a public meeting, part of our working groups, took the online survey? So we've had a lot of folks who've been involved in some way during this process, and we appreciate that. So this has been a year-long effort that started last May. A comprehensive plan is a plan that looks at the community in its entirety, and that's from land use, housing, economic development, infrastructure, natural resources, community facilities, parks and rec, all those good things. The city has never had a comprehensive plan before, and we've had a lot of people say, well, we had a vision for this area in downtown, or we had a corridor plan along Camargo Road, or a land use plan here, and those are all true things and planning efforts, but they're not a comprehensive plan that encompasses the entire city. So with that in mind, the city invested the time and resources and capital to create their first ever comprehensive plan. And people said, well, why do we need a comprehensive plan when we've operated in this great place for so many years without one? Well, a plan allows us, when a developer comes forward, to say this is what we want our community to look like. In the past, when a developer's come to Madera, what's the plan for this area? What's your vision? Well, we don't really know. We have zoning. We have some regulations. But we don't really have a vision for how this looks. There's also the element of how do you leverage grants? How do you leverage outside assistance? Increasingly, it's hard for communities because of cuts in the state budget, different local funding revenue streams, to access capital dollars, to keep your roads up, to keep the services up, police and fire forces, all those good things that you rely on. There's opportunities to leverage outside monies regionally, federally, statewide, but all those applications, all those funding sources will ask, do you have a comprehensive plan? If so, what was the public involvement process? Do people want this improvement? So that's another way to use the plan to leverage it for the community. As we went through this process, on the first page, you'll see four focus areas that were plan themes that arose as part of this process through the community survey and our steering committee. And those were economic development, active transportation, this idea of a walkable, bikeable community, community facilities, particularly parks and recreation, civic space, and housing was a very key issue. So as we went through the plan, we had a steering committee that was comprised of the Planning Commission members you see behind me, as well as eight representatives of the community that volunteered. And they set an overarching vision and set up these four working groups where we had liaisons from the steering committee serve, and it was an open-ended recruitment. Anybody who wanted to come to the meetings could attend in these four focus areas. Each of those four groups met three times across the planning process. These were informal work sessions where we sat here for 2 hours in the evening, people gave their time, and we had some candid discussions about how you wanted the city to look in the future. So some of the highlights of that, going by each of the four categories. One was economic development here, particularly in the town center, and also along Camargo Road, and also there's a part of Montgomery Road, and some people didn't even realize this was Madera up by First Watch, where Fridays used to be that area. It's within the city limits. And some people have said, well, we don't need development, or we don't need more congestion here, business. But economic development, as some people were made aware during this process, is a critical part of the city's municipal revenue stream because we need jobs in the city. For those that earn income tax elsewhere, they're likely paying to the community where they work. They're not paying to Madera here where they reside. There is a small percentage that the city takes, but most of it is credited to the community where you work, as you know. So any jobs you can create, whether they're low earning or, you know, advanced skilled labor, is critical to the health and well-being of the city. Again, even if you don't want development, just to keep up the services, just to pave the roads, just to have the nice parks, the good safety forces you have here, it's important to keep jobs and expand jobs within the community. With that being the case, we looked at three areas, what we're calling the downtown here along Miami, Camargo Road, which has some older industrial parcels that have maybe become somewhat obsolete because of the decline of the railroad, but could be repurposed, and then Montgomery Road by the interchange, where we could see some higher density development. So the idea here in the downtown area was to have a mix of uses, community-scale retail. In our working groups, we heard a lot that people would love to have a place to, particularly to have family-friendly activity as far as dining, something with patio seating along the street, local-scale retail. Again, no big box, none of the stuff that you'd see up at Kenwood. Something community-scaled for the residents. Moving on to active transportation, one of the major themes we saw in this plan process was this idea of a walkable community. As far as scale and density, as far as the radius, the amount of people that are within a 10-minute walk, a half-mile radius of downtown, it's over half your community. So this idea of completing the sidewalk network, particularly west of here along Euclid, up along Camargo, on the northeast part of the city where there's a current sidewalk gap, were considered critical. The other item that came up is more of a longer-term vision. We'll have to take some incremental steps. Is the idea to have a regional trail connect up to the Little Miami Scenic Trail along the railroad tracks and finding an alignment for that, a way to connect people to recreation, but also a transportation facility to commute here down to the business district, to the park, potentially for school kids to get to school. In the community facilities group, a lot of the, this was kind of an open-ended discussion when it started, and people kind of gravitated into one or two areas as their theme. They're either very passionate about park facilities. You have two primary parks. There's a bird sanctuary to the north. We heard that not a lot of people are bird watchers, but if you enjoy that, I hope you do. McDonald Commons, obviously, be more of an active recreation facility with all the ball fields, the pavilion, the events you have out there, and then Selman Park, more of a natural setting with some playground equipment closer to the school. People really wanted to see more multi-purpose fields in this area, a better use of facilities. We heard a lot of requests for fields that could be purposed for different events, for leagues, capacity for the ball fields, all those things. And we also heard a request for better access to nature. And this came up in a few areas. Selman Park, there's a little area on the back of that where it crosses the stream that could be better utilized. There's some woods in the back of McDonald Commons that would make for a nice hiking and walking area. And there was also some property along Camargo Road in the south part of the city that's currently not connected to any public right-of-way. It's a nature preserve that some people expressed an interest in getting back there for maybe mountain biking, just scenic overlooks, that type of passive recreation. We also heard a lot of requests for a civic space, something here in the downtown where people could gather and just sit, have ice cream, have their gelato, have some coffee outdoors, maybe a movie in the park night, something, a selfie spot, we heard. And Sarah's smiling because she recommended that. But we do remember those things. And just a gathering space so that people would stay longer in downtown, maybe park once, walk to multiple places, or just walk from their homes and spend some time in the town center. Last but not least, housing was kind of a hot topic. A lot of our discussion focused around this idea of preserving neighborhood character. Some people felt their existing housing, particularly in the older parts of town, what we call the Residence B district in the zoning code, was being threatened by the teardowns of older homes and replaced with bigger homes. Just what we found out about during this process was it wasn't so much the fact that a house was being torn down and replaced. It was the fact that the new house was a lot bigger than the house next to it. At its core. So we heard from both sides of the table on this. Some people have said, you know, building a bigger house here, replacing a smaller one, allowed me to stay in a community where my kids are and my family was growing. We also heard some people feeling threatened by the scale of their neighborhood and that they moved here for that smaller town feel. So we want to look at opportunities to maybe potentially incentivize rehabilitation of existing homes rather than tearing down homes, and maybe providing incentives to add on to an existing home rather than a complete new build. And just finding ways, whether it's through zoning regulations or incentives, to make scale consistent across the neighborhoods. So as on the back page here, as we look at some of our strategies, we wanted to formalize for economic development, business retention and expansion program, ensure that our zoning allows for jobs of tomorrow, recognizing that everybody doesn't need a physical office space as we move forward. People are telecommuting. There's co-working, co-sharing spaces. And we want to make sure we have a recognizable community brand and identity, something that puts Madera on the map. As far as what we're calling mixed-use development, mixed-use, again, is ground-floor retail supported by above either having apartments, condos, or office space, which is permitted here in the downtown zoning code. Look to leverage those opportunities. We looked at creating a community improvement corporation to facilitate those type of developments. And we looked at updating parking standards, and in particular, looking for a shared parking lot that where it would be public parking space and people could park and frequent different businesses, the park, whatever it might be. We heard a lot of issues about parking, that some people don't meet here, they don't have friends meet here because it's tough to park in Madera. Again, active transportation, want to pair roadway improvement projects with sidewalk improvements as funding becomes available. We want to enhance crosswalks, where especially where children and families are crossing the road. And we want to collaborate with our regional partners, particularly OKI, which is the Regional Funding Transportation Bank that allocates our federal transportation funds throughout the region. So you have 53 municipalities here alone in Hamilton County. So it's important for us to prioritize and raise our hand and point to our plan when we're asking for funding assistance. We wanted to look at the possibility of calming traffic here along Miami Avenue. There were a lot of thoughts both ways about how people felt about potentially altering lanes, slowing down traffic. Some people said, oh, I don't want my commute lengthened at all. We heard a lot of people in our working group say, that's people from out of town speaking. We would like this. We wouldn't mind waiting another minute or two as we travel through at rush hour to make this a more pedestrian-friendly experience. So something more like you'd see in a Hyde Park, a Milford, a Marymount, Loveland. Those are places that people really pointed to. So as a follow-up here, we would recommend a detailed traffic study. That's where we have to go out there, do traffic counts, detailed engineering. An engineer will come up here. They'll simulate the traffic and let you see how everything flows, how long a car is delayed, and you can see it on the screen. That's a further level of detail that needs to be done before an improvement would be made. Obviously, then, if grants, if that was feasible, we want to pursue grants for those improvements. Civic space, we looked at repurposing potentially right-of-ways, such as Railroad Avenue, as a space where we could have civic gathering. Again, we don't have a lot of publicly owned land in Madera, and sometimes public right-of-ways, streets, those are our most valuable asset as far as creating that space, since it's expensive to buy land to purchase space. We want to enhance the experience between along Dawson Road between downtown and McDonald's Commons. That was a theme that we have some great events there. It's a great place to recreate, but if we could have a better connection, a promenade there along that sidewalk widened, better signage, that could be a more inviting experience. We want to look at opportunities to expand McDonald Commons, particularly along Dawson Road, that frontage, and then back into the, some of the natural areas to make better use of those woodlands. We want to open access to Camargo Canyon Preserve in the southern part of the city as a passive, natural recreation space. And we want to improve the eastern portion of Selman Park overlooking Sycamore Creek. As far as housing strategies, we talked about property tax abatements for residential rehabilitations of existing homes. And people go, so these people don't have to pay taxes anymore? No, it would be potentially on the improved value, so what they put into the home for a number of years, and it probably would not be 100% improvement or 100% abatement. It would be a certain percentage, and it could be determined how many years you want to set that forward. So those are some details that would be determined here by council and administration going forward. We'd also want to look at performance measures to make sure those homes are sustainable, they're energy efficient. Again, these are things that affect a home's bottom line moving forward. If we can make something more resilient as far as stormwater, something that captures stormwater on site rather than discharging into a storm sewer, we have less flooding, we have less problems downstream, so the city doesn't have to repair and invest money every time we have a heavy rain. We talk about the home itself. It's proven that over time, a home that's more energy efficient as far as its windows, insulation, those things will command a higher sale price down the road. The resale value will be maintained. That helps the city's tax base. So again, there's a way to leverage these incentives so that long-term municipal revenue is increased. This is not just a giveaway. This is something that's going to benefit the city's bottom line long-term. And we also talked about zoning, potentially looking at ways to alter zoning code to have more consistency in size and scale, and to also continue to allow flexibility in the mixed-use area around downtown. With that in mind, I want to stress that this was a process that heard from a lot of people throughout the last year. We had over 700 community survey responses, which is a pretty good success rate for a town with just under 9,000 residents. We were at 13 events here, many along this street here along Miami, where we had hundreds of people stop by our booths, participate in different exercises. And this is our fifth of and final public forum. So we had meetings at the high school, the middle school, where people came out and we talked one-on-one in groups, as a large group, at boards, about their input. So we've heard from you in a lot of different ways. And with that in mind, I think we'll turn it over to public comments at this point.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I am the principal of the division, and we are the consultant for the conference. Thanks.
So we're going to open it to public comments. We ask that you not exceed 5 minutes. And there's really no order to it, so you can just come up as you see fit and give us your name and your address, and so we'll begin.
And if you could make sure you please use the microphone, because again, we are recording this meeting.
My name is Barbara Hall Waddell, and I've lived in Madeira for 28 years in the old Frisch's house, 6022 Cherokee Drive, over on the side of Madeira that used to be Kenwood. As I've been paying attention to the different issues here at City Hall, it seems confusion is the word that describes most of what's going on here. Confusion on what Madeira residents require of council, confusion on whether or not we want to pay higher taxes, and confusion on what the comprehensive plan disclosed as the wants and needs of the community going forward. I will tell you that what you're holding in your lap is not the entire comprehensive plan. We were presented with a 68-page document. As I reviewed the results of the survey, it looks as though people are overall satisfied with life in Madeira. Some of our newer residents are paying tremendous prices to purchase their homes. And then when the tax time comes around, they pay upwards of $12,000 a year just in property taxes. Why do they do that? Why don't they move to Mason? Why don't they move to Anderson, Deer Park, or Silverton? What sustains Madeira at the top of the tier of home values? And are we in danger of tipping that scale in the wrong direction? Historically, councils here in City Hall have been willing and able to work within the budgets that they have had to keep the services and activities flowing. Not anymore. This plan comes with a price tag attached, not just in dollars, but the cost to the private property owners involved. If we are going to build a park in the Camargo Canyon Preserve, we have to get the access from somewhere. Whose property? Whose property are we going to seize to get that access? If we are going to build a trail to Madisonville, whose property are we going to seize? If we want to make a concert green on Railroad Avenue that measures 50 feet by 100 feet, by the way, whose property are we going to seize? We are a single-family residential suburb of the city of Cincinnati. We will never have a playhouse in the park, a professional sports team, a symphony, or a huge venue for concerts. That's the nature of suburbs. We drive into town for that. At least I do. If I want to take my dog for a walk, I can travel 10 minutes in any direction to access any one of the beautiful Hamilton County parks that have millions and millions of dollars sustaining them, by the way. Until now, that has been good enough for Madeira residents to continue this onslaught of higher and higher taxes to pay for amenities that require seizing property by eminent domain is just wrong-headed and destructive to the friendly town culture of Madeira. Maybe some of you in the audience tonight came here not knowing very much about where we are in this process. It is important to know that there is a document called the Decision Matrix, created by the Envision Group, who are outside consultants, paid $100,000 to do this. This document creates a point system that assigns points to each issue in the plan in an effort to highlight which projects should go first or have the most importance as we move through the implementation phase. So Envision thinks, based on their point system that they created, they think that Madeirians want what we want based on this year-long process. Ask yourself these questions. Would these be the priorities on your list? Would you want a greenway, bikeway, trail to Madisonville at one end and Indian Hill at the other end that right now leads to nowhere and goes to nowhere? The Rails to Trails program is for railroads that have been abandoned by the trains. Okay, so in Madeira, we're not that. We still have an active railroad. We still have trains coming through here multiple times a day. We can't really use the Rails to Trails program, so what are we going to use? Whose property are we going to seize when we want a Rails to Trails program? Okay? Or whatever, greenway, bikeway, whatever label you put on it. Okay. So a public the second thing that got the highest points in this point system that they created is a public-private corporation that can skirt sunshine laws and open meetings, set up for the purpose of land acquisition with taxpayer dollars, and traffic calming on Miami Avenue. Traffic calming looks a lot like what they've done to Fairfax, what they've done to Kenwood Road, what they've done to Hosbrook Road, what they've done to Delta Avenue. There's different examples. It always looks a little bit different, but it's the same thing where they try to calm down the cars because cars aren't calm, and they basically end up idling a lot longer and actually creating more pollution, in my opinion. I'll close in just a second. Oh, and the fourth most important element of the plan that was brought up 8 times in 11 pages is denser housing. Okay, so maybe they try to quantify what that denser housing looks like, but there's they don't spell it out. It could look like Sycamore and Montgomery for all we know.
Excuse me, Barbara.
I just have one more paragraph.
I'm
concluding it now. And by the way, the civic space, you can look at the plaza if you want to see how Madeira maintains their public spaces. In closing, I just want to say that I am not against future forecasting. I am against a binding document that looks to us a very heavy-handed government overreach that has the potential to lock Madeira into this point in time with today's standards. On the front page of what you have in your lap, it says, how do we stay relevant? We stay relevant by staying free. Free markets should be encouraged and allowed to flourish so that future generations can stay relevant to whatever their future holds. Thanks.
Yay! Thank you. The floor is open if anyone else would like to come up and comment.
I will.
Great. You can.
Maple Leaf Drive. Lived, moved to Madeira in 1969. Lived a couple other places for a couple years, but always came back. I went to the second meeting they had. At the beginning of the meeting, our wonderful presenter lightheartedly said, He'd already gotten a call from a lady who didn't know anything about it, but was saying, how do I vote against it? And, you know, everybody laughed. But immediately after that, he made the comment, you will lose property rights. Losing property rights does no resident any good. There's no benefit to losing property rights for any reason. So I find it a little troubling that the city might, for the sake of some dollars for grant money, sign away your property rights. And as far as the CIC and creating of a land bank, Madera's not that big. So where are they going to get all these properties for the land bank? Going to take them from somewhere. And by removing property rights, they make it just that much easier to take homes wherever they want. Say a home that's the least valued in the neighborhood because some elderly person has lived there for 40 years and their property taxes are lower than all the other houses on the neighborhood, which have sold in the last few years. They can pick and choose and pick them out and be able to get away with it, as unfortunately our Supreme Court has supported such eminent domain taking of homes to redistribute to private developers. I find that the most troubling thing about it. The rest of this is nice and window dressing, but I think that's the most important thing that everyone should be concerned about. I don't think that government is supposed to be serving the residents, serving our needs and wants, and taking away property rights for whatever vision is not serving any resident. And I'd like to take a moment to publicly thank the Madera police. My father-in-law recently passed away, and there were extra police directing traffic and all saluting. Meant a lot to our family. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Come on up.
Know if we voted these people into office.
No, this is the planning commission. Just not the microphone closer to your mouth.
There you go.
Did we vote them in?
No. This is planning commission.
Oh,
planning
the mayor? The mayor?
Official.
Okay. But are you to represent we the citizens? Are they to represent we the citizens?
Yes.
Yes.
They all do. Okay. So, well, I want to know how you picked the people. It said in this little article here that you had meetings with people. How did you pick the people?
The working group and the steering committee? Or
like you said in your paper that you had met with little people and you were in people's homes and that you have people who agree with you.
Well, there were a number of public forums that were convened over the course of the spring and summer last year into the fall. There were four public forums that were convened. There was one at the middle school. There were maybe two at the high school. There was one at the church. There were different times during the course of the day in an effort to try and get as many people there as we could.
So we, the people who have no children at school, would we be notified of that? Mm-hmm. I'm saying to you that I have not been notified at all. I see here that you had taken all these informed people, where you had the schools. Where did you notify us that you were having the meetings at the schools? Did you say all the time, every council has always sent we the people stuff like this in our home to read to know what's going on. And we went to the schools, and we the schools were always loaded when we had something like this. But I mean, how many of you? I'm appalled that you people think that you can take our stuff and our stuff like HUD. I live on Shawnee Run, and Section 8 came in, and they had my two best friends had to leave their apartments because they made too much money, and so they brought in Section 8. And the next thing you know, we had a robbery, we had a shooting, and we had drugs. And I'm appalled that you think that you can do all this without even letting us, the people, vote. I just don't understand it all. I am really upset. And I guess the other people are too. I don't understand how you can do this, that you can take our stuff like this and not let us vote. That's how can you answer that, not let us vote? And you're going to meet with HUD, and what's that going to do for us?
Well, I think you've resurfaced two issues there. One is the public input. And while those meetings were held at the schools, it wasn't advertised exclusively through the schools. The way we advertised those meetings where they were, it was on the city webpage. We've talked about this in the newsletter that the city distributes to all of the residents, probably on at least three or four times. So we have tried to gain public input as best we can through the means that we have. And we've made notifications about. I don't know if it's actually had an article in the newspaper or not. Lori, do you know if there's been an article in the newspaper?
The newspapers are notified. They don't always print what we send them in terms of
the
announcements.
The pamphlets, the Madeira newsletter pamphlet?
Yes, they get notifications of all of our meetings.
So yep, they get notification of every meeting.
That's right. Right. Yeah, we don't have any control.
We don't have the editorial control over that.
This next person? Okay. All right. Come on up.
Hello. My name is Dottie Orchard. Can you hear me? I can get louder because I was a Madeira cheerleader. And the only reason I was elected, there were not that many people that came to the games years and years ago, and I had the loudest mouth. So that's why I was elected. I am appalled at this whole program. And I'm sure that many of you are here for that reason, and so I'm going to ask you to show council your hands. How many are against it? Oh. How many? Okay. And then there are some of you that did not raise your hand, so that means you're here to find out about it. And so...
Or they may be for it.
Say what? Oh, you are for it. Oh, okay. Now, there was a letter that I did pass out as people were coming in. It was written by Todd Molnar, who is a businessman in Madeira, and it was published in the local newspaper. And I asked people in the letter if you saw it. The death of property rights in Madeira. Madeira's incessant attempt to raise unnecessary new tax revenue that includes garbage tax, earnings tax, admission tax, has met with substantial opposition. It now appears that revenue is intended for the city's acquisition of commercial and residential real estate. Madeira taxpayers should recognize the correlation of the comprehensive plan legislating a method by which Madeira can take property and the recent agreement Madeira made with the federal agency HUD, that's Housing Urban Development. Madeira's agreement with HUD stipulates the special deconcentration of housing opportunities for persons of lower income and the revitalization of deteriorating and deteriorated neighborhoods to attract persons of higher income. That wasn't what Madera was all about originally. To accomplish this, Madera Planning and City Council are posed to recommend the purchase and funding of a corporation to acquire, hold, and hold and assemble real estate. A corporation to acquire our real estate. The corporation, using public tax revenue, would not be subject to public oversight or public records requests. Commissioner Barry Feist described it as a way for people in the community to get some control over property development. I thought we already had enough control.
Barry.
Public engagement meetings have been held according to Planning Commission. The community wishes have been tallied and quantified. This person, Todd Molnar, says, I disagree. And I agree with him. Who would support the identification and deconcentration of persons of lower income? Why is public policy driven to attract only persons of higher income? Who are these people of lower income? Elderly on fixed incomes, new families with children, people working to support their families, not pawns to be used by our elected officials. To cast a shadow on one's sacred right to be secure in their home or business reveals the intention of those promoting this comprehensive plan. A tipping point has arrived. The good name and reputation of our community lies in the balance. Exercise your right to be heard. Thank you very much. Okay. Next.
Initially, but it got moved, so I couldn't attend it. It was the one that I could not attend. But some of the things that caught my eye are the interest in the municipality in addressing climate change. I don't think there's a place for that in the municipality, in government, in general, even if it's you think that there's climate change or not. The other thing, how many people have read the actual all 67 pages of the, how many people understand the maps? Okay, I think that's kind of a problem as well. While there was an effort made to include everybody or to get a good feel from the community about where this comprehensive plan should go, it was a very, very small portion of the community of people who were available at that time, even though everybody was welcome. I think it's very important to have a long-term plan, but I think the plan should be in infrastructure, safety, and livability. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Hens. I live on 7541 Camargo Road. I've looked at the comprehensive plan. I participated in the community surveys, and I feel like the comprehensive plan represents what myself as a young professional, and I would argue the future of Madera, want out of a community. Specifically regarding sustainable development, energy efficiency, and thoughtful urban development. And I fully support the city developing this plan so that they can fully access the resources available to them through the state government and potentially federal government grants.
You are way too far from the microphone. Unfortunately, I am hearing challenged. I am wearing two hearing aids, and I still can't.
Okay, I'm happy to repeat my statement.
Thank you.
I'm Chelsea. I live on 7541 Camargo Road, and I participated in the community surveys and feel the comprehensive plan fully supports what I want as a community in a community as a young professional and a future representing the future of Madeira. I especially support what the comprehensive plan says about sustainable development, thoughtful urban development, and sustain. Did I say all my things? In mitigating things like stormwater management and walkability and traffic calming. Yeah, and I fully support the local government's effort to kind of be able to develop this plan and be fully able to access the resources available to them through grants, state governments, federal governments, and so that we as taxpayers are less burdened as they do things like sidewalks and streets. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Good evening. I'm Todd Walner. I've lived in Madeira for 42 years. I'm a business owner as well as a property owner in Madeira. I did not anticipate Ms. Borcherding reading a letter that I submitted to the Cincinnati Enquirer. She's somewhat taken the wind out of my sails, but I will go on anyways. Madeira has conducted surveys, public and social media engagement, seeking the opinion of our residents for this comprehensive plan. The issue of Madeira government forming a corporation to acquire property was never discussed or much less supported by residents, yet it made its way into this plan. Should this be enacted, any constraint to this plan, and let me repeat that, any constraint to this plan will be bound by Madeira's agreement with HUD. And that agreement calls for the spatial deconcentration. Does anybody not understand what that means? Spatial deconcentration. Fine. The spatial deconcentration of persons with lower income and the revitalization of neighborhoods to attract persons of higher income. This is elitism. This is placing one person over another. I do not find this acceptable. I do not believe this community finds this acceptable. Explain to our children how this is acceptable. This plan should not be forwarded to City Council until a majority of residents both understand and concur with the recommendations that are contained therein. Thank you for your time.
Hello, my name is Matt Turcott. I'm at 7008 Maple Avenue, Unit 3. I came here tonight just to kind of take it all in. I haven't been involved in a lot of the sit-downs or whatever. I do have a couple of questions. It seems like in the proposal, though, you're recommending a CIC, but it's not required, right? It's not required that you're doing the CIC. Right. Loveland, Milford were example communities in which their downtowns are picking up. I thought Loveland's looking pretty cool with their restaurants and their mixed use with the retail downstairs. Took my daughter out there, bought a snowboard. They got apartments up there. I looked at those. So all of those are really cool things. They help with the downtown. It's really neat. But do they have CICs? Do those two communities have CICs?
I believe they do. I'm not 100% positive, but I'm not 100% positive. I know that they have used, you know, some outside, but I don't know for a fact.
Okay. All right. So that's one question. I mean, it's not required. No. There could be other ways to raise this money to do things with the community. The next thing that came up was this deconcentration of lower income families. So if we think about the communities around us, and maybe even take into like Chicago or other Project 8 areas, or Section 8 areas, I remember my sister-in-law, she lived in Chicago off of Ohio Avenue in a high-rise, but it was a mixed-income community where you had people of lower income with people of higher income. So you are decentralizing lower-income people where you might have higher rates of crime, you might have drugs, et cetera, and putting them in where they feel that sense of community when they have higher income people, and so the likelihood of them to do crime or to try to take advantage of the system is not there. So I'm wondering if that's what HUD is referring to with decentralization of lower income families. So instead of a concentration of one group where, was it Cabrini Green in Chicago? Eventually they took all that down and they put in row houses, where you have mixed income folks where there's a sense of, hey, look at what this guy's doing and I can do better. As far as property rights, it seems like we already have a little bit of restriction on what we can do with our property. I mean, I can't just like build something that I want without some type of, you know, variance or whatever, or put something on my property if I don't have something else. So I guess living in this community, seeing what's happening with our housing and how it's getting more expensive, yet seeing all the bickering and obstacles that occur when you try to do something good isn't good for our community. And so I think it's good that we come together, and I think that's what they tried to do by getting surveys and getting input from everybody. But to continue this bickering, and just because it's not what you want, doesn't help anybody else. So there's got to be a way to come together. Maybe there's different restrictions you can do, but I mean, we're going to continue to go the same route. And I don't think we can continue to sustain this community without either raising taxes or getting more revenue from other people. So, and then the last question I had was, if we do the thing where you renovate your house or somebody buys a house and renovates it, does the person that buys that house get the abatement? Because most likely somebody's going to buy that house to flip it, right? So they're going to buy it at 180, 190, and they're going to flip the house. So does the new owner get the abatement?
Mm-hmm.
It'll go with the land. Yeah. All right, cool. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Matt, we confirmed that both Milford and Loveland have CICs. They do.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me? Okay. I'm Grant Gibson, live at 6141 Cherokee Drive. Lived here for 8 years this summer. I want to first say thank you. I appreciate all the hard work that everybody put in, the focus groups and everybody that did that. Appreciate that. But I wanted to first start out by saying that some of the parts and pieces of this I agree with, and then there are other parts that I don't agree with. I would say that when I first glance at the 60-some pages, I would say, got some dust on it, meaning old. It feels not progressive in my mind. So I think she hit on the nail on the head earlier in talking about renewables and efficiency of homes. And, I mean, I know trash pickup is a big deal, right? So part of a comprehensive plan should also include what? Recycling. How do we decrease the amount of material that's going into the landfill? Policies like that, that should be part of a, when we talk about the word comprehensive, we should be thinking about the entire community, right? So property rights aside, and I'll get to that in a minute, but the other part that I want to touch on is what I consider digital transformation. So again, comprehensive, right? Digital transformation for the city of Madeira is that the only time I go to the city website is to pay my taxes, and that's it. Literally. I'm not a Facebook user. I don't like social media. I'm an outdoors person. That's what I spend all of my time doing. And so I never go to the website to do anything but pay my taxes. That should be a major overhaul component. Mm-hmm. Website, digital technologies that should be included in the city's services, right? where the snow plows out? Is my street going to get salted? When? When are my leaves going to get picked up? When are my limbs going to get picked up? Everybody uses their phone every single day. I mean, if there's anybody in here that does not have a phone, I'd be very, very surprised. Another part is the ROI and the matrix. There's got to be a better use or a better way to prioritize the items that are listed out in this plan. One of the things that I teach in my profession is incremental delivery. And when it comes to incremental delivery, I'm looking at this as one giant big scope. And usually when giant projects are scoped out at the beginning, they typically fail at the end and they never deliver on time and in budget. So my point being is, I think one of the things that should be done here with this comprehensive plan is deliver incrementally. Deliver one chunk at a time. Because there's this saying that I teach people is culture eats strategy for breakfast. And what does that mean? That basically means that if the people are not on board, and the folks sitting up here, if people are not on board with it, the people at the top of the company, unless they're preaching it and believing in it and then getting everybody convinced that this is what we should do together, it's not going to happen. It's going to be bickering and fighting and I don't agree with this and I don't agree with that, and we're not going to arrive at one goal, right? So the last part that I want to talk about, so I talked about the incremental part, the digital transformation. So the private public partnership, I mean, that's not all about seizing property. If you look at the success that 3CDC has had downtown and OTR, you want to talk about a significant amount of money that's been partnered together to do what? Redevelopment of areas that had needed a tremendous amount of money, energy, resources, willpower, et cetera, et cetera. So I think with something like that, again, coming back to how can we chunk this out and do this in parts and pieces versus one giant plan, I think would be a better approach. Thank you.
My name is Ed Ryder, and my wife and I moved to Madeira a year ago from the city of Cincinnati, and we also have lived in Montgomery. And we love Madeira, but frankly, I was surprised there wasn't a comprehensive plan. I was surprised there wasn't a community development group, because every neighborhood in Cincinnati that I know has been successful has developed one. There are a lot of great amenities here, but there were things like Camargo Road didn't have a sidewalk. Miami didn't have a sidewalk. If Madeira is going to be viable, you have to look at your competition, Blue Ash, Mason, whatever, and you've got to do many of the things that are in this plan. So I was very excited to see that some of the issues that really are going to keep Madeira viable are in this plan. Madeira is in a crucial point, in my opinion, because of the tax base. It's like Montgomery, but they have Bethesda Hospital, thank goodness, to pay a lot of their bills. And so, frankly, I was surprised how lean the budget was here and how it appeared to be a very well-run community doing the best they can with limited resources, just income taxes. It's amazing. So I think this is a great start. Yes, digital's critical, and there's a lot more to go, but this has many of the pieces that are absolutely necessary for Madeira to stay vital and compete with all the surrounding communities. Thanks.
Can everybody hear me? Cool. My name is Mark King. My wife and I, their kids moved to Madeira in 1988, so we've been around for a while. Started out up on that end, ended up moving on to that end. But we stayed in Madeira. We stayed for the schools. That's why we came here. The schools are still really great, and I think still attract people. So I think we have a good thing going here. Full disclosure, I first heard about this comprehensive plan right out in front of the building. They had a booth at last year's art fair taking surveys. We stopped, we looked at it, we filled out the survey, and picked up a brochure and said, this sounds interesting. So my wife and I volunteered to participate in the Community Facilities Advisory Group. I think that's the right name, isn't it? Met over the summer and the fall, kept up. It evolved, I can tell you that. We enjoyed working with the various people that came and participated. Now, the other thing I will tell you, though, is that having been a project manager in technology before I retired, no plan you ever come up with is going to please everyone. You can't do it. You can't build it. Unless your plan is we're all going to leave this meeting at the end of the meeting. That's the plan. We'll all agree to that. Anything else? There's going to be disagreement. And I'm happy that people are speaking up. This is what this is for, is to let your elected officials and the Planning Commission hear you. So I think this is really good comments. But I do want to balance a little bit of that, I'll call it discouraging word, concerns that people have, by saying that I think the process was well done. I probably don't agree with everything in the plan either, as it currently stands, but I think there's a lot of opportunity in Madeira to do some good and to keep enhancing our community. There are probably some things that I would not agree with in there, as I said, but I think we have some opportunities, and I don't want us to not take advantage of those opportunities because of fear. I will tell you that when we started the process, working on it, they educated us, took one whole session to educate us on the budget, where our tax revenues came from, property taxes versus business tax, income tax. And I learned a lot out of that. And what I learned is that the business tax is the most important thing where they get their money. And, yes, we are a lean community, and they run it very efficiently, I think. And I appreciate that. But if you look at the numbers, you look at the way things are going, that can't go on forever. So we've got to consider what can we do to improve those situations for our budget. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me all right? Mm-hmm. All right, good. My name is Todd Luxton. I live at 7118 Maple Avenue, just right behind here. I've read through the comprehensive plan. I participated in many of the gatherings that were put together for people to provide insight. Excuse me. First of all, I think this is an incredible meeting. From the standpoint of the polarization that kind of exists in the mindset of how people view this, I think it was kind of sad that there were 700 participants out of 10,000 that actually participated in providing information to this. It was continually put out, as far as information goes, to the community in a newsletter that every resident receives. So there are 700 people that participated in it, which is about 10%, not even 10%. But of those 700 people, there are maybe 100 people that are here tonight who are truly passionate about Madeira, about the planning of this community, and about what happens going forward. And from that standpoint, I think it's a pretty amazing group to be a part of and to hear both sides of this. I do support a lot of what was in the comprehensive plan. I do believe that there are areas that we could improve upon and could benefit from additional discussion. But shutting it down completely based upon the fear of a few portions of this plan, I don't think is the appropriate way to go. The other issue that I take with it is it's a plan. I've made lots of plans in my life that have never actually happened. We are not necessarily committing to anything at this point in time. We are committing to the development of a plan. So I have not seen anything in there that says if this is, put forward that we are guaranteed or fixed to do something. But additional conversation, additional information back and forth at this point in time seems like the best way to go forward. And thank you very much for letting me share.
My name is Jay Gruntke. I live at 7327 Redondo Court. I have lived in Madeira since 1989. I have some mixed feelings about this. The first thing I would like to ask, with respect, please have somebody edit the plan that's on the website. It's a 68-page document, which, by the way, anybody who's serious needs to look at the whole document, not just this summary. This has some good points in it. The plan itself has some good points in it. The document that's on the website, I'll acknowledge it says it's a draft, but it's full. It doesn't inspire confidence. It's full of typographical errors, missing punctuation, wrong punctuation, word agreement that doesn't work in the sentence. I mean, I threw about a quarter of it just from an editing standpoint, and it's a little bit embarrassing. So, you know, maybe we should, if the company that drew up this process was responsible for that, we probably should ask for a partial refund. You know, I, as a citizen of Madeira, if something's on the website, and as a business owner, if somebody gave me a draft like that that had that many errors, many of them small, but not insignificant, so please get it edited so we can go forward with a good document. Having said that, we'll move on from that. The plan has a lot of good ideas in it, and I appreciate, you know, all the work that's gone into it. I think that it's not something that should be entirely thrown away or anything like that. It looks ahead. It takes a good look at the community. It has some good information in it. It has references to certain studies that I question a little bit, and there are no, in the plan itself, doesn't have any actual citations or references. But, you know, there's a lot that's good in it. But there's some troubling language in the plan, and I'm going to agree with a couple of the people that have expressed concerns about this. There is something that's going on across the country in communities and regions all around, and it's a effort to try to do regional planning and to try to bring individual towns and cities into regional planning, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Certain things can be done well on a regional basis. But the byproduct of this sometimes means you enter into agreements, you take grants, things that are legally binding, and you wind up losing the individual sovereignty. So something happens to the Madeira Zoning Code, and a big percentage of the community is up in arms about it. And when we come to City Council, they say, well, sorry, we no longer have total control of our zoning code because we have this corporation, this partnership, or we took this grant and we agreed to some things. And the seeds of that are definitely in here. Now, it's not binding. The plan itself doesn't bind us to anything like that. But I'm concerned that we need to take a closer look. You know, there's 700 people who did the survey. That's great. But the survey, I've looked at it, it's relatively superficial in terms of the kinds of the questions it asked. Some good questions. But none of this type of concern was reflected by that. The number of people, the percentage of the residents of Madeira that actively participated in the process, the planning, begins with a decimal point. Okay, a very small number of people that were really driving the process. So very briefly, some things that concern me. The word sustainability. We can all agree that in concept, sustainability is a great thing. Unfortunately, while most of us are probably environmentalists and believing that we want to be kind to the environment and we want to be, recycle and do the good things, unfortunately, the word sustainability has been hijacked by a small group of environmental extremists. And so when you see that word, you have to look very carefully at what is really being suggested. And in the plan itself, there's not really enough specifics to say that it's bad, but it's a red flag that you need to be aware of. There are multiple references to higher density housing. Now, the one thing I know from being in Madeira this many years and all the many public forums we've had is that Madeira residents are strongly committed to being a single-family dwelling community. And while there may be limited things we can do with apartments and higher-density houses in certain parts of Madeira, I am concerned about the number of references and the apparent bias in the plan to move us in that direction. The references to regional planning with the grants.
Excuse me, Jay.
This all comes with strings attached. And potential loss of local control. So I do not believe that this plan should be approved by council in its current form, although it has many good elements. I think we need to make sure that a larger percentage of the residents understand the ramifications of some of the things that are in here. And by the way, it's my opinion that it was this plan that drove the request for the increased income taxes last fall. I won't get into that in detail now, but I can tell you that I ran the numbers, and the campaign to raise our taxes not an honest campaign. Thank you.
My name is Piyush Swami. My wife and I have lived in Madeira for about 45 years. I moved in 1985. She moved in here in 1974. So we are long-term residents in Madeira and have seen quite a few changes here over the years, which was much appreciated. I've also worked on this planning commission for about, I think about 10 or 12 years in the past, so I know how a group like this works within the confines of the rules and regulations of the city council. I think they all work to make the community better. They work diligently. They can only go so far because of the limitations of time and energy, and everybody's a volunteer on some of these committees. I think this particular project certainly was well publicized. It was a good participation in some of the meetings that took place here. They certainly worked hard to get as many people as possible. Nobody was stopped. And if you did not hear about meetings and other forums, then it was not City Council's fault. They were well publicized in the newsletters and all the other forums. If you came to Art Fair or 4th of July or some other kinds of events, they were there. Unfortunately, if you did not get a chance, I'm sure there will be some other ways you can provide your input, including tonight's meeting. There are several questions that came up tonight that kind of resonated with me. In the base of this, I think there is a question that there are people who are older. See, I am one of them. My wife and I live on fixed income also, and we are both retired. We are planning to live here for another 30, 40 years. I think we will make it. I hope we will make it. So we have a lot of interest in what's going on here. I see a lot of concern among my other friends that the people who are in the lower income category, and I suppose you could call senior citizens in that category because of the fixed income, might lose their rights, their property, and might be forced to leave Madeira. I think that's a very significant concern. I particularly don't think that's realistic. If you live in Madeira, you will live in Madeira as long as you want to live in Madeira. This city council has always been very open for input, and lots of issues have been put to vote whenever there is a contentious issue that has come up. And I think it will be so. When any activities under this economic development plan are to be discussed, I'm sure there will be input from all the community before the city council, not before the planning commission. And if you think it is serious, it'll probably go to a vote. We have that right to ask for that, and it has happened in the past. Abatement issue and other things did go to vote when people banded together and raised the issue. Without a comprehensive plan, we cannot expect a comprehensive development. The problem with Madeira has been that it has been very spotty development. Something happened here, something did not happen here. Sidewalks and other things are issues that happens here, doesn't happen here. Stormwater management is one of such issues also. If you go on Camargo Road after just a small shower, you almost have to cross a sign which says road closed or water high or something like that, because we have that issue here.
Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, just a second. I'm about to finish. And so I applaud the effort by the city to develop a comprehensive plan and give it to us for us to look at. I hope we move forward with it, and whenever specific issues come, I hope we come back again and provide our input more significantly. Thank you.
I'm Les Lefevre. I live at 6101 Fulcher Lane. I had absolutely no intention of getting up here and saying anything. I've skimmed the plan. Pardon me? Yeah, that's right. That's right. I wasn't going to get up here. But I'm the only person in the room, I'm certain, that was chairman of the Planning Commission, chairman of the CIC. Madeira did have a CIC in the past. I've been on every committee that studied the improvement of the Planning Commission, and in the last 35 years or something like that, right? Since you've been here, Tom, anyway. What I see in Madeira is I'm from the old school. I've been here since 1953. I know why most of the people in from 1953 to 1999 moved to Madeira. They came here for the schools, for the single-family residences. Single-family residence was a big thing. They liked not having a lot of traffic. They liked not being in the hubbub. They also liked being fairly close to the expressway when it finally came in the, what was that, 70s, early 70s? But what we have now is we have from 1985, those are the newcomers. And they have other visions that the older people don't have. They come from other communities that they grew up in, whether they be in from other states. And we still have a lot of people that were born and raised in this community. I was not born here, but I was raised here. And so I look at this plan, and I think it's I think we have to have a plan. I do believe in a plan. I look at it as being a little bit overreaching, and there's parts of the plan I definitely do not like. I just think there's some things here that are going to lead to actions being taken behind closed doors without the public's participation by a few people who think they're no better for everybody, and they don't. So I think, as Mr. Swamy said, I think most of the things in this committee should go to a vote. I think it's a small enough community it could be done that way. I'm just kind of old-fashioned that way, and I've been here a long time, and I would like to see it go to a vote, and I think it needs a little more study. I think it's been, I know there's been all those study groups. I have not been a part of them because I'm out of town a lot, so they took place, a lot of them, when I wasn't here, but I still think there needs to be a lot more work on it. I think to push this through at this point in time, to adopt it across the board, is a mistake. I just think it needs more work, and I think some of the parts definitely shouldn't be in there. All I have to say, thank you.
Could you offer some specifics on what you don't think should be in the plan, please?
Well, I don't like the HUD. I don't like the HUD part. I'm not sure that we need a ice skating rink on Railroad Avenue. That's one of the silly things. The committee that would be able to buy property or take people's property, and I haven't studied it well enough to know exactly how that would work, but I just think there's a lot more questions that need to be answered. Like I said, I haven't studied the plan.
Right.
I've read it online. I don't like to read anything online. I'd rather read something in black and white. It's hard to read online. My eyes get tired.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Doug Oppenheimer, 7431 Mardell. First, I want to say something about Dolores, one of the earliest speakers, but I'm going to speak for all the elderly people that are in this room, a lot of them aren't in this room. They don't have internet. They don't know how to get to it. They got a computer. They hardly ever use it. And when we passed the charter amendments in a special election with very few people voting, these elderly people were shunted. They don't know what's going on. The newspaper used to be their source. And when Madeira passed that charter amendment and everything gets put on the website or the internet, the elderly people in this community were the losers. So I want to say that in support of Dolores earlier. The other thing I want to say, Les, everybody that spoke, that's talked about Mr. Gibson, I think, I've heard a lot of people talk about this plan. It's comprehensive. It's too comprehensive. I've read it. I've been to every meeting except for one. I've been to committee meetings. And this plan, first of all, it does not reflect what I heard in all the meetings collectively. This doesn't reflect what got talked about. This, what's in here, the CIC, Mr. Warner knows, we ought to look into what happened with the CIC when Mr. Les was the chairman. We ought to find out on Railroad Avenue, was there a deal on Railroad Avenue back when there was a CIC? We need to look at the history. All right, next I think there's something we all need to be aware of. There's going to be an ordinance, and will there be an ordinance Monday night at the council meeting for the first reading of this? Okay, but there will be an ordinance, and how do you pass this? And do you pass it in its complete, the way it is, everything? Well, there's going to be an ordinance, and there should be three readings. If there's not, we're getting screwed. So first of all, there will be an ordinance, and this will be passed in its entirety, not parts. I agree with parts. When you were on Planning Commission and Les was on Planning Commission in 1970 when I moved here, we had the best damn Planning Commission there ever was. And this would have been done in 1970 by our Planning Commission, not for $100,000, but for a few thousand maybe for some paper and some copying. I don't know if we had computers in 1970. Don't think we had the internet, did we? All right, anyway, there's going to be an ordinance. And I think what we all, whether you're for or against it or you're in between somewhere, everybody in this room, damn well better know what that ordinance, how it's written, and what it says. And when it's, because they're going to read three readings, and everybody better understand what they're doing. Because this is too much, and it's just, it doesn't make sense. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Patty Connolly, and I live at 7914 Tanth Drive. This is in the heart of Residence B zoning. I am particularly interested in, I guess you would say, people of my generation. We moved to Madeira on September 25th, 1964. So I am a long-term resident. We had four children. We used mostly private schools, but we did have a special needs child that used the Madeira schools, and I'm very appreciative of the Madeira schools. But I'm very interested in the elderly. And as soon as I retired, I spent 55 years in the classroom at every level, elementary, secondary, and university. So I have found that communication is a very delicate, fragile thing. And in this community, particularly communication with our senior citizens, who, those above the age of 55, my understanding, constitute approximately 30% of our population. The street that I live on, Tansas Drive, was one of the first streets to experience teardown. We have three, maybe four, of these very large homes on lots that are no more than 50 by 142 feet. So, one of the things I'm concerned about is that those of us who are our senior citizens and living on fixed incomes may well be forced out of their homes because of various rising expenses. I am very blessed that I am not living on a fixed income. Part of my income is fixed, but I am very sensitive to, an expression says, I am my brother's keeper. And I feel very strongly that I have an obligation to serve the community. I have been working on the Seniors Commission for at least 6 years, and I worked on the housing committee of this comprehensive plan, and I've done some other things too. I think it's important to remember that Madeira would not be the community that is today, desirable, if it weren't for our senior citizens who have lived here a long time and worked very hard in various ways to make the community what it is. I think one thing we could all agree on is that we even want to make it better, regardless of our chronological age. I personally like the idea of a community which is not all one generation. We have infants on our street, and we have middle-aged people on our street, and we have senior citizens on our street. And I think we're the better and richer for it, because we look out for each other. And that is one of the earmarks of a caring community. I would agree that we need to be as sustainable as we possibly can. But we also have to be realistic. We also have to teach people how to be sustainable citizens and make things the most reuse, reduce, recycle that we can, so that we're not filling up the landfills.
Excuse me,
Patty.
Patty, I know you said you were hard of hearing. I don't want to yell too loud. It's been 5 minutes. Do you mind just making your last comment?
I have one thing to say, and that's it. And that is, there's an expression, if you aim for nothing, you're sure to get it. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Patty.
Hi, everyone. My name is Xin Ma. I live at 7900 Buckeye Crescent. I have to say, I wasn't prepared to come here. I did not read the comprehension plan. My neighbor, Daddy, was informed me all the issues. And I think I can, this is actually my first time come to the public meeting, and I really very impressed, and I want to express how I think. Just looking at the audience here, I want to say it's not representative of the all the community, all the residents here, because a lot of the parents, like me, sometimes too busy. I come straight from my from work. I was late. So a lot of the voice probably not being heard. I heard some people mention all the comprehension plan was laid out earlier last year. Sorry, I wasn't even aware of it and not even know the issue. Just too busy. We got kids, we got professional jobs. This is, maybe, you know, the city council can reach a little harder for young professionals. So that's one issue. I just jotted down some notes here when I was listening to everybody's talking. I don't know the comprehension plan, but listen to the couple of issues, the agreement with the HUD. I don't know the detail, and what's the benefit to have the agreement with HUD? Deconcentration. What's the value? What's the benefit for Madeira? I agree, this lady said earlier, the elders, lower income, fixed incomes, they are not just the lower income. They have values, contribute to the communities. These values are the culture of the communities. They are the school guards. They are watching our kids. On the street, we talk to them, know the history of the city. So I think we need to consider more. When we talk about comprehension plan, yeah, every city, every company probably have a plan. I think we need to start with the overarching values. What's the value for our village, for our city? Why we're different from Mason or Blue Ash? Then the plan can be step by step. The plan can change, but this is the guiding principles. So that's something I think if the resident, majority of residents agree this is the value reflect our culture, then everything can work it out. To me, tax base, yes, of course. Why Indian Hill schools can offer all those extra curriculum? Because they got a bigger tax base, and our kids don't have those opportunities. Tax base is important. But beyond that, I think livability. I choose to live in Madeira. We come here 9 years now. Livability is a big part of it. Right now, we don't have a good bike path. My husband actually read most of the plan. He told me the bike path in the plan was good. Something is lacking, like an emergency plan, probably is not considered there. Walkability, sustainability. My job actually is sustainability work. So sustainability can be all aspects, financial sustainability, you know, environmental parts, social sustainability. For example, the stormwater management. We have kids design ring barrels for the zoo. Why can't we have the kids design for ourselves, all the communities? And how about a community garden? That's a social event too. Emergency plan, I mentioned, that's my husband's comments. And also, it's not just a tax base. A lot of the people here comes with their own professional backgrounds. So that's the value we can contribute to this comprehension plan. Somebody understand that aspect, they might be able to contribute more to, you know, that's the value. That's not just the tax dollar matters. We can tap into this type of human capacity. I'm thinking
Excuse
about
me, I apologize okay. for interrupting. Yeah, just your I'll last thought, please.
We have a lot of elder people here. For example, maybe the city can consider something like community nursing home where people can help each other, or the young people can help the older generation, and the older ones can help the babysitting the younger ones, right? We got a lot of the young professionals are too busy. I think one thing, probably it's not, I don't know if it's in the comprehension plan, but I heard about it, about the, we want to switch the water treatment plant, or water supply. I don't know if it's in the plan, but I want to make a comment. I intended to call someone, but I'm just getting busy. It's 2 weeks I want to call someone, but I haven't get a chance. So I don't know we did the comprehension.
Excuse me. Plan. I apologize, but we have to make sure we don't go over 5 minutes
okay.
for each person.
For the water treatment, the water supply switch from Indian Hill to GCWW, I think we might want to think about it. I want to know more about that because I work with GCWW, so I want to understand what's the decision behind that. Yes. Another thing is the tax base is not the only source for the dollars. Maybe thinking about grants or fundings, other sources, federal government or state.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thanks.
My name is Kathy Tartarin, and I live at 7815 Greenbrier Drive. And I'm up here because I do have a question. Can we vote on it? Or is that just impossible? Is that possible that the residents can vote on this plan? Anybody? Who would I ask?
I guess anything is possible to vote on. Okay. That would certainly be up to City Council to put it on the ballot.
And if you pass it, do you have to pass the whole thing? Because I think, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't go for that sustainability stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and on top of that, if you do that stuff, will it be forced on people or is it voluntary? It's, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's okay if it's voluntary, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't buy it. So, anyway,
Well, if I could just offer a thought on that.
Yeah.
I know that's been brought up a few times this evening. I'd offer two thoughts on that, actually. One is, I think part of the sustainability is a recommendation that the city itself, the city as a government entity, engage in some sustainable activities, whether it's more sustainable lighting to reduce lighting costs in the long run, or something along those lines. The recommendation is that the city as an entity look at that, not that that in any way be imposed on the citizens. I believe that the only time it comes up in the comprehensive report draft plan is when we talk about this potential for trying to encourage people to rehabilitate existing homes rather than tearing them down and building new homes. And then you would be encouraged to engage in some sustainable practices when you renovate the home. So there's not an effort in
here
to try.
Do they have to? Or do they only get the abatement?
It's an option.
Okay.
As it's contemplated right now, it's an option.
I mean, there's parts of this plan that's just, I don't know, just the thought of, I don't know, the less like outside government help you have, as much as possible, makes us less free and makes us have less control over our own city.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my feeling about all that. It just it sounds like central planning. It just sounds like every comprehensive plan that's ever been done has to have this far left-wing bent to it, where you know you have to make it into some, you know, some global sustainable thing, which really bothers me. But and also, I guess my other impression was, and I know I'm coming from a different perspective because I've always been really like not rich. so to me, it's like when I read it the other day, I was reading it, and I thought to myself, it just seems like, I mean, I have my own wish list at home. Of course, we all have one, probably. So it's a mile long, but I got to be practical. So when I was reading the plan, I thought, well, where's all this money going to come from? It just sounds like we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to do that. It sounds very, very, very expensive. And so that was my impression of it when I was reading, and I thought, it's okay to want stuff, but, you know, it's like we have to. In fact, Madeira is great about the stuff we need, like Thomas Drive, which is just like a mess for a couple of weeks. And then the next thing you know, it's fixed. It had like 20 potholes like a couple months ago. And the next thing it's fixed. And I thought, this is great. And actually what makes Madeira great is the people. You know, that has been the case since I was born here, so that's 1964. So what always made Madeira great was the people. And, you know, I think if you do the basics, and I mentioned a long time ago when I was going around the town, and like talking to people about I forget what it was. But anyway, I was knocking on doors. And I talked to young people, and I was talking to the young people. It was sort of about some changes they were making. And they said the reason they moved to Madeira is because it is sort of more hometowny. It isn't like other places. They said they could move anywhere. I get that. You know, but Madeira is a little bit different, and that's why they liked it, and that's why they came here. So that's about all I have to say. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak before I close the meeting?
Well, I want to. Oh,
okay.
That was one more.
Hi, my name is Megan Golden. I live at 7903 Maple Leaf Drive. I've been a resident here for 12 years. I've raised my children here, and we did move here for the schools because they are fantastic. This is a fantastic community. The fact that we're even able to do this and have this discussion, like, applause to everybody, and that you guys are willing to listen. I think the biggest thing I hear is just it's a fear because change is coming, and we all know it comes, but we would like to have, I think, a level of say in what's going to happen. You know, I'm dealing with two teenage girls right now, and so I have to give them some choices, some options. When do you want to do this or do you want to do that? And both of those things are okay with me. I think if you just... A lot of people, and this is my opinion from what I'm hearing, and I have read the plan. I did apply to be on the planning committee. I'm hearing that people are afraid that this is going to be force-fed down our throats and we won't have a say in this wonderful community that we love. So we respect and appreciate if you guys could just help us to understand what's going to happen, let us be a part of the commentary of what's going to happen. And I really believe that once that process begins, you actually will get more than a 10%, more than 700 people who will want to have, who will want to add value, who bring their assets and their, you know, abilities in their careers and their lifestyle and what they want Madeira to grow into, because we do want it to grow into a beautiful place where our kids will stay here or come back here. And I think that's, I appreciate you guys listening and taking the time, and that's what I think everyone is asking for. So thank you.
You want to talk? Oh, no. Okay. It looked like you were maybe about to come up. Yeah. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming, and we appreciate all of your input. And can I get a motion from Planning Commission to adjourn the meeting?
I move to close.
Barry?
I'll second.
Great. Is it?
Ms. Lofton?
Yes.
Mr. Mormon?
Yes.
Mr. Hintz?
Yes.
Mr. Yankee?
Yes.
Mr. Weiss?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Do I have to get everyone?
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.